I'll be honest with you, I believe I know what's happening this evening. And thought about it sitting over there while the Lord was moving. Last night, the Holy Ghost came by and said a word to Liberty Baptist Church. And that word was that you don't need to sit on what you have, but you need to go on for the glory of God. And last night, that word was received. And tonight, the Holy Ghost has come by to let you know that He appreciates you saying, yes, sir, when He speaks up. And I believe that tonight. If you have your Bible, go to the book of Numbers and find chapter 21. Stand with me. I'll not be long-winded tonight, Lord willing. That's the other McNeese. Amen. He picks on me everywhere he goes. I got to get my shots where I can. Amen. I do appreciate what the Lord has done here tonight. And I want to say that it's not everywhere that God does what He's doing here. But I want to say this, it is everywhere that the Lord wants to do what He's doing here. I could use a little more help than that right there. Sometimes we begin to think that we're something special. But the truth of the matter is the Holy Ghost would like to do this in every Bible preaching church in America. And so it's not that we are anything other than open to what the Lord has on His heart. He has big desires tonight. Are you in Numbers chapter 21? If you are, say amen. Verse number 16. And from thence they went to Beer, that is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses. Gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. The princes dig the well, the nobles of the people digged it, by the direction of the lawgiver, with their staves. From the wilderness they went to Matanah. Heavenly Father, we are thankful tonight for the Word of God. And thankful for the Holy Ghost that lives inside of our heart. And I pray now for that divine unction from another world. God, may the good Holy Ghost do what we cannot do. God, may You minister the Word where it needs it tonight. God, help us say what You want said, nothing more and nothing less. Holy God, speak to Your people tonight, and I'll give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. You can be seated. In our text tonight, the Lord has spoken to the children of Israel. And there is a need for a well to be dug. And I want to take just a few minutes tonight, let the Lord help us where He will, and I've got several thoughts on my heart. First of all, I want you to notice the order of digging that God has given. The Bible says in verse number 16, and from thence they went to Beer. At the end of verse number 18, they left this well, and they went to Matanah. I began to study this portion of Scripture and even today began to dig a little deeper in it. And I found that the name Beer here, the meaning of that name is a place in the wilderness. I looked on down and found the place Matanah in verse 18. And it again means a place in the wilderness. Both of them referring to places in the desert. Here's what the Holy Ghost was saying in this portion of Scripture, is that they were in the middle of a desert. They were in the middle of a dry place. But God, hallelujah, wanted a well in the middle of the desert. They had come from one dry place. I need a little help right there. And they was headed to another dry place.
But right smack dab in the middle, God ordained a well to be dug. I don't know if you know this or not tonight, but we're living in a dry place. We're living in a dry world. We're living in a dusty situation when it comes to the moving of the Holy Ghost of God. I promise you something. Some of y'all been around here all of your life. You ought to thank God that God put you where the well is. Because you don't have to go very far, and it's dry and it's dead. But God loved you enough to put you somewhere where there's some water. They were in the middle of two dry places. And I want you to notice the order that God gave. Now, I hope I don't hurt nobody's feelings tonight, but I just got to say what the Holy Ghost wants me to say. There is an order in verse 16, and that order is given to Moses to dig that well. Now, I want you to listen to me. Don't die on me right here. God speaks to His man. Well, it looks like I'm going to have to do some work tonight. God speaks to His man. I want to go on record tonight as saying, thank God for men of God that can still get a word from God. I'll tell you what most of these churches have. They don't have no man of God. Amen goes right there. Average Baptist church don't want no man of God. They want somebody that'll kiss all the babies and hold hands with all the old women and make the young people happy and will go down to the hospital and visit, but they don't want no man of God. I tell you why, a man of God will get in your face. He'll tell you where you've messed up. He'll tell you where you've gone wrong. And a man of God will get a word from God. This generation we live in, most of them don't want a man of God. They want some little boy out of seminary that don't have enough of the Holy Ghost on him to get a word from heaven. They want somebody to get up and prime and push and pump and just make them feel better about the week that they're going to have. But I'm here to tell you, if you go have a real Holy Ghost church, you better make sure you got a man of God in the pulpit. Watched my daddy pastor 45 years. My daddy said, son, there's one thing about it. He said, when God calls a preacher, He doesn't call him to be a pulpiteer. He calls him to be a man of God. And I've watched my daddy stand in the gap between heaven and hell. And I've watched my daddy make a stand when everybody else turned their back on him, but he kept on standing. And those are rare in these days we live in. But if you're going to have a well, then somebody has got to get a word from God. I want Brother Ken to stand up right there, if you will, preacher. I'm not going to get out of line tonight, but I want to say something to you, Liberty Baptist. The Holy Ghost loved your family enough to give you a man of God. God loved you enough to give you a Bible preacher that ain't down here tickling ears and trying to climb some social ladder. God gave you a man of God. You better thank the Lord in heaven that He gave you a preacher at this church. I want to say something to you tonight. This may bother you, but I got enough gas to get back where I come from. I will say something tonight. God will tell your preacher things that He ain't telling you. I'm going to say it again. I didn't stutter when I said it. God will tell your pastor things He ain't telling you. That's why God called that man of God to lay aside the cares of this world and to tend to the work of the church. It's why you're out yonder pulling 60 hours a week. He's got a prayer closet He can bury up in. While you're out yonder fighting the world every day, He's got a study and a Bible and He can lay up with God and get a word from God. I want you to listen. I don't care how good a businessman you are. I don't care how good you are with money. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how many degrees you have. When you've got a man of God, God will tell him things He hadn't told nobody else. Moses come down off the mountain. Moses, God speaks to him in that dry desert. And God gave an order. And He gave that order to Moses. And we see the order of digging. But then I want you to notice number two. Everybody doing all right tonight? I want you to notice number two, the opportunity of digging. You see, God may have given that word to Moses, but there's a place in this digging pit for everybody. Use a little help right there. God may have given the word to Moses, but there's a place for everybody when it comes to digging this well. Notice what the Bible says, verse number 17. Then Israel sang, "Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it." Look at verse 18. The princes dig the well, and the nobles of the people digged it by the direction of the lawgiver. Let's look at me right here. There's a place for everybody when it comes to digging this well. Now I want to say something to you. I'm going to go backwards for just a second. Isn't it amazing that in verse number 18, it's the princes and the royalty down there in the pit digging that well? If it's just naturally speaking, wouldn't you think that the princes would be up yonder sitting in the palace? Wouldn't you think that the royalty would be laid up in the shade eating grapes and drinking wine while the lowly folk are down there in the pit? But see, that's because you're naturally thinking in the economy of God. If you want to be great, you've got to be small. I'm a preaching right here. If you want to be somebody, you've got to be willing to be nobody. And royalty in God's kingdom gets down in the pit and gets the job done. I'm just going to be honest with you tonight. I ain't got no time for somebody wants to tell me how to do it without coming down here to show me how to do it. Brother Ken, we first started. We didn't have but a handful of us. It was just three or four. And God sent this fella. He was about 37, 38 years old, single, never been married. Worked for Aflac down there in their corporate airline division. Made money hand over fist. He'd come in there and he'd put that big tithe check in the offering every week. And I said, "Thank you, Jesus. Somebody coming to church that I ain't got to buy their gas to get them here." Amen. And I thought, boy, ain't he a blessing. And then after about a month or two of him being there, he got to coming round and he'd leave me little pieces of paper with things on it that need to be done around the church. He'd say, "Now, I noticed some things that ought to be done," and I made a list and he'd leave it on my desk. Well, I thought, well, maybe he's just a good fella trying to help out. And for about 2 months, I took that little list and did what I could with it. And one Sunday afternoon, I was sitting in there in my office, and I was praying, and I was reading and studying, and the Holy Ghost got on my heart, and the Lord said, "If you want to be royalty in this outfit, you don't come around telling everybody what to do. You just go do what needs to be done." He come in my office that night at a bad time. He threw that little list down on the desk. I said, "I want you to hang on just a second. I've been looking at this little to-do list for about 2 months, and I want to tell you what to do with your to-do list." And I better just stop right there for the sake of mixed company. Amen. And can I tell you something? Around the local church, it seems like there's always somebody that wants to tell everybody else how it ought to be done. You get up and sing, there'll be somebody that never sung a song in their life, but all the way home, they're going to tell how you should have sung your song. And they're part of that crowd that wants to be royalty. But I'm here to tell you something, honey. We're all just sinners saved by the grace of God. And there's nobody royalty around here except for those that are in the trenches digging the well for the glory of God.
Watch this. There's a place for everybody. They're down there digging that well. And I like this. They, some of them couldn't get down there in the well and dig. So you know what they did? They got up on the hill and they sung to those that were down in the well. There were some that couldn't get down there and dig. And so they just got up on the hill and said, praise God. I'm about to have me a spell. Said, praise God. We might not be able to do what they're doing, but we can encourage them while they do it.
We started that church there in Columbus, and we'd been going about 2 weeks, and was out knocking on doors, inviting people to come to church, and had these little flyers, and we was out passing them out. I was standing on the side of the road, walking from one house to the next, and Buick Sable come behind me about as long as this building. Can I get a witness right there? The vinyl top had done come loose and whoop, sitting up in the air like a parachute. Had no hubcaps on it. Like to run me over. I jumped out of the side of the road. That car went up, stopped, rah, put it in reverse and backed up. That little window rolled down, and there was a little lady sitting there by the name of Margaret Jones. She is 83 years old. She looked at me and she said, what are you boys giving out? I said, we're inviting people to church. She said, why hadn't nobody invited me yet? I said, because you ain't home. Go home and I'll come invite you. Amen. She took that out of my hand. She looked at it. She said, who's the preacher? I said, that would be me. I was 22 years old. I said, that would be me. She said, ain't you a little young to be a preacher? I wanted to say, ain't you a little old to be talking about age? But I didn't. I said, yes, ma'am, probably. She took it, folded up, stuck it in that purse. She looked at me, she said, I'll see you Sunday. And I thought, yeah, right. We got to church on that Sunday. Didn't have but about 8 or 9 of us in there. We'd done sung every song we knew. And I was fixing to start preaching. And I heard gravel slinging outside. That Buick coming in there sideways. That back door opened up. Miss Jones walked in. Had a purse big enough to outfit the Iraqi army strapped over her shoulder. Had on a pair of knee highs that had never seen her knee. Can I get a witness right there? Just rolled up down there at the bottom. She come in, sat down on the second row, got out her Bible, a pencil, and a piece of paper. And everything I said, she was writing it down. Got through the service, she come back, shook my hand. She said, that's pretty good for a young man. She said, I take shorthand notes. And she said, you like to set my pencil on fire this morning. But she said, I'll be back tonight. That little Presbyterian woman started coming to our church. Sitting on the third row. And I'd preach down to my socks, spitting my tonsils to the back wall. And she'd sit there with a smile on her face and a pencil doing 100 miles an hour. I never will forget, me and Amy had been out preaching one morning or 1 week. We have church on Thursday night, and we'd gotten back early Thursday morning from being in a revival. And I went out and was unloading the car. and I saw that Buick coming. I have now learned to hide when I see that thing coming. She told me, she said, "Preacher, my doctor told me I'm too old to drive." She said, "But I told him I ain't going to quit driving till I'm dead." And she said, he said, "Well, how can you see?" She said, "I can't. I just put it in drive and mash the gas till I hear glass breaking." Amen. She said, "Then I know it's time to stop." That is what she told me. I heard gravel flying. I now know to hide when I see that Buick coming. She come pulling in. It's about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. She come in. She said, "Preacher," she said, "I've got a friend over here sitting in the car beside her." She said, "I've done carried her to the doctor this morning. Said the doctor don't know what's wrong with her. Said the doctor can't help her, but I told her not to worry. I knew where there's a preacher that could get a hold of God. Now you come over here and get a hold of God." "Well, what are you going to do?" "I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to go over there and get a hold of God. That's what you're going to do." I prayed. She said, "All right. If I find anybody else, I know where you're at." Me and Miss Amy, she had a birthday, turned 84. We drove over to her house. We was going to get there early. We was going to surprise her for her birthday. Got there about 8:30 in the morning. Pulled in the driveway. We had her some flowers and had her a card. We got out of the car and she pulled in behind us. I said, "Miss Jones, where have you been?" She said, "I've been playing the piano for the old people at the nursing home." We carried that flower pot in there and that little card and laid it on her table and sat around and fellowshipped. And as we was walking out the door, I tell you, I'm telling the truth, walking out the door, we both had 4 bags of groceries under our arm, taking them back to our house. You couldn't outgive her. She wouldn't let you do it. She got sick there after about 6 or 7 months. And she couldn't come to church on Sunday. Brother Ken, I just say, I mean, not even a handful, 8 or 9 folk on a Sunday morning. And I'd get to church early every Sunday morning, about 9 o'clock. We start at 10:30. And when I'd come over and unlock that door and open the front door of that little house that we was renting for a church, there'd be an envelope laying under the door where she'd done been up there and slid it under that door waiting on me to get there. And in that envelope, there'd be 3 things. There'd be a tithe check off her Social Security. And there'd be a letter in that envelope to this preacher. Hallelujah. And she'd say things like, "Preacher, I'm sorry I can't be here today. But about 10:30, I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to pray for God to touch you." And she'd say, "I'm going to pray for the Holy Ghost to fill you up. I'm going to pray for somebody to get saved. Call me, preacher, and let me know how it goes today." And there'd be another letter in there. And that third letter wouldn't be to the preacher. It'd be to God. And she'd say things like, "Dear Lord, thank you for the sunshine this week. And thank you for my flowers coming up in the front lawn. And thank you for so-and-so that stopped by to see me. And God, thank you for my food this week." And she'd write a letter to God and stick it under the door of that church. About 2 weeks went by, and I didn't get any letters under the door. A lady came in the back row, came in the back door and sat down while I was preaching after church. She came to me. She said, "You must be Brother Jonathan." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." She said, "Granny Jones is in the hospital. And said she'd been talking about some preacher Jonathan. Said we didn't even know who you was. And said we rode by and saw your name on the sign. Figured this must be it." She said she wants you to come up there and see her. I drove immediately from the church down to St. Francis Hospital. Went up to the 4th floor of that ICU unit. And there Granny Jones lay over there in the corner. I'd never seen her with her hair down, but it was laid off the side of that bed, almost touching the floor. Her eyes was sunk back in her head and she looked so thin, and she looked, the first time she'd ever looked fragile to me, but she looked so fragile. Her son was there and his family, and I'd never met any of these folks. She is already unconscious. We held hands and we began to pray. And honey, I've been in a lot of good meetings in my life. But I'm here to tell you, in the corner of the fourth floor of the ICU, about 287 acres of heaven came down. Brother Ken, I went to praying for God to heal her, and the Holy Ghost told me not to. And so I quit asking Him to heal her, and I started thanking Him for heaven. And I started thanking Him for an angel band, that if they carried the beggar over, they'll surely come help us make it to the other side. And glory fell in that place, and God filled that little corner of the hospital. And about 4 minutes after we prayed, she took her last breath and entered into another world. They asked me to come be a part of the funeral. And I thought I'd be honored to. Went down and drove out there to Park Hill Cemetery. And this is just a little old lady lived back in the back of our neighborhood. I pulled in, asked the director, I said, "Where is the Jones funeral?" He pointed down there and he said, "You see all them cars?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Good luck getting close to the casket." On an August day in South Georgia, there was 400 plus people standing around. Where she got her oil changed, they shut it down. And they was all standing out there in their Pennzoil uniforms by her coffin. And 400 plus was standing in the heat to say goodbye to that saint of God. I want you to listen to me, and I want you to listen to me well. She never preached a sermon behind the pulpit. She never stood and sang a song till the glory fell. But she knew how to stand on the side of the hill while somebody was down in the bottom digging for the glory of God and tell them, "Spring up, O well. Spring up. Keep on digging. Don't give up. Dig on for the glory of God." And I want to tell you something. You may feel like all you do is come and go to church. But every time you walk through those double back doors, you're singing to that preacher sitting in that chair right there. Every time you give God what's His in the offering, you are singing a song to those that are digging in the well. Every time you praise Him, every time you hit that altar, you are being an encouragement to somebody that's digging. You see, there's a place for everybody. There's a place for everybody. You may not be able to do what I do, but I can't do what you do. But thank God, if you can dig, you ought to get in there and dig. But if you can't, you ought to know how to stand on the hill and encourage somebody that is. Watch this. We see the opportunity, some sing and some shovel, but there's a place for all of us. And I want you to notice this, lastly, the ordinance of digging. Verse 18, the princes digged the well. The nobles of the people digged it by the direction of the lawgiver. If I had time, I'd stop tonight and say we don't need to go to some seminar to learn how to dig a well. We don't need some high dollar preacher to come by and give us a class on how to dig a well. There's already been a great lawgiver that's come by. He told us how to dig the well. We got the manual in our hand. Thanks be to God. I believe we better do this thing His way. But I ain't going to preach on that because I ain't got time. Watch this. By the direction of the lawgiver, with their staves is how they dig the well. Now I want you to look at me. I had some well problems here a while back. We pulled that thing as 180, 200 feet down to where that water was. My well run dry and I was trying to get that thing fixed. Listen to me, I'm not a well digger. But if I'm going to dig a well, we ain't going to get sticks. We go into the cat rental. Somebody say amen. I need a little help right there. But when God told them to dig the well, bring me my stick. He said, take, well don't run me asunder with it, just hand me to it. I'm
preaching over here. I feel a little threatened tonight. I said, amen, while you're singing and you're going to stick a stick in me. Praise God. Watch this. By their staves they dug that well. Now, I don't know if you realize this tonight or not, but not the ideal tool to dig a hole with. I mean, not really the tool that we need to get down to where the water is. But God said, take your staves and dig that well. Can you see them on the hillside? They're singing down there, spring up, oh well, keep digging, boys, don't give up. And those princes are down there with their staves. Now I got something else I could preach on right here, but they didn't get those staves in Egypt. These were shepherd's staffs. They weren't keeping sheep in Egypt. These staffs belonged to another generation. I ain't gonna preach that. They're down there with those staves. And I don't know if you realize it tonight or not, but you can't move a whole lot of dirt with the end of a stick. Amen. And no doubt, they felt like there's a waste in their time drawing around in the sand with those sticks. You ever have the devil come by and tell you that you're just wasting your time? You ever have God give you direction, but yet in the middle of the will of God, you feel like you're not making any real progress? Get your family dressed week in, week out, carry them to church, and they still act crazy? Y'all nod your head up and down right there. Preach your guts out, and the devil laugh and say, boy, ain't you just really moving some dirt with your little old stick? There they are with their staves trying to dig that well. But I got to say something to you. There's a secret that they found out that you ought to know tonight. And the secret is you're not going to move a lot of dirt with that stick. It is going to be monotonous. It is going to be slow. And you're not going to see a whole lot of progress. But you want to know what the secret is? They weren't digging down to the well. They weren't digging down to the well. The well was coming up to them. What did the Bible say? Spring up, O well. Spring up, O well. Not dig down, O digger. Spring up, O well. You know what that tells me? That tells me that if I do what God said, if I remain faithful to where God put me, it's not how much I'm dirt I'm moving. It's not how much I'm getting done. It's the fact that God is going to bring the well to where I am. Anybody ever felt like this? Anybody ever felt like that? Doing what you're told and not seeing anything happen. But it wasn't them digging down. It was the well coming up. And Liberty, I want you to listen to me. It's not the things that we do that are great that's going to make God move. It's the things that we do that God has told us that is going to allow the Holy Ghost to have free reign. I started this little thought out tonight saying that if you've got a man of God, that God's going to give him digging orders. And God's going to give him direction that maybe nobody else understands and maybe nobody else can figure out. But if you've got a man of God, God's going to speak to him. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. Even if you don't understand it, you ought to stand on the hill and say, spring up, O well. And if you can, you ought to get down in that well and move your stick with him and say, praise God, preacher, we may not be getting much done, but I do think I hear a little rumbling underneath us. I mean, we're not hauling it out by the truckload, but I feel a little something shaking under our feet. God's looking for some places to move tonight. And God's looking for some places that are willing to get down in the pit and move their stick for the glory of God so He can spring a well up.
I want to say something very solemnly tonight, and I'm done. And I have no doubt in my mind the Holy Ghost is trying to speak to somebody tonight. I preach in churches all over this country. I'm a young man. I'm just 32 years old. But I've been preaching now. I've been preaching now 22 years. And I preach all over this country in some of the best churches. I don't go a lot of places that's not like this. I preach in some of the very best churches in the United States of America. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to say one thing to you tonight. When God's blessing like He is right here at Liberty, you cannot just stay where you are. You can't just stay where you are. You're either going to go forward with God or you're going to go backwards. But you cannot just stay where you are. One of the greatest churches I preached in years gone by, one of my dearest friends, God filled the place up. God saving people left and right. I mean by the droves, people getting saved. And that church came to a crossroads where they could go forward with God by faith, or they could camp out where they were. And they made a choice to stay and to keep things just like they thought they would always be. And when I go to that church now, it sits a quarter empty. And altars that used to be filled, you have to beg and plead them to get them on their knees in that altar. I've seen that place so thick with the Holy Ghost that sinners couldn't stay in their seat, and in the singing, sinners make their way to an altar and get saved by the grace of God. But ladies and gentlemen, when we put the brakes on God, we cannot stay where we are. You're going to go backwards. It's either forward or it's backwards. There is no in between. God's given you a man of God. You believe that tonight?
Amen.
And oh, my friend, you're sitting in the middle of a desert. Sitting in the middle of a dry place. And the Holy Ghost is wanting to dig a well bigger and deeper at Liberty than He ever has. And there's two things we can do. We can stand on the hill and sing and say hallelujah. And we can get down in the well and we can help move what we've got until the Lord comes through. But we can't go back because there is no back to go to.
Amen.
Brother Ken, I want you to come if you will. And I want you to kneel on this altar right here. And I want to say something to all the men at Liberty Baptist Church. You ought to get in that pit and you ought to dig. I want you to listen to me before you move. I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to me. The loneliest man in this church kneeling on that altar right there. The devil will climb up on his shoulder and tell him things, discourage him. You'll leave here on Sunday night and you'll be so encouraged you're ready to charge hell with a water pistol. And the devil drag your preacher down through the depths of depression before the sun comes up on Monday morning. You ought to get on this altar and you ought to say, preacher, we're going to help you dig. We're going to help you dig. We're going to sing to you, preacher. And we're going to help us go on for the glory of God. Because I promise you, God's wanting to dig a well, and we got to go forward. I wonder how many of you men would come get on this altar, and I wonder if you'd help your preacher dig. I wonder if you'd sing to him tonight. I wonder if you'd let him know you're not going to move your stick by yourself, but we're going to help you.